This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. The last time the Nobel Prize for Literature went to an American was 1993, when Toni Morrison won the honor. But last week, in what many saw as more than just a simple twist of fate, the Nobel Committee not only bestowed the grandest prize in literature to an American, but to one who's better known as a musician than a writer. Bob Dylan, as you know by now, won the prize. And that news has been causing quite a buzz as music and poetry lovers worldwide dust off their old copies of Blonde on Blonde to listen even more closely to lyrics from songs like Stuck Inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues Again. That was just one of the songs Dylan featured in his famous Rolling Thunder Review Tour, which thundered through Burlington's Patrick Gymnasium on the campus of the University of Vermont in 1975. We wanted to see if anyone who was at that show could regale us with some stories about it, and we found our concert goer in Mark Stoller, Professor Emeritus of History at the University of Vermont, who joined us in our VPR studios to hearken back to a concert that took place on November 8th of 1975, 41 years ago to the day in which this year Americans will go to the polls to elect a new president. Mark Stoller's first memories of that show go back to the days before it happened, in what, under different circumstances, would have been a rude awakening.
The first thing I remember is being woken up by one of my students at 3 a.m. The rumor mill had been flying. Remember, Dylan played small venues on this tour. He was in the New England area, and the rumors were flying that he was going to come to Burlington. The student, knowing that I was a fan, calls me at 3 a.m. and says, if you want to get a ticket, get online now.
And when he says online, he means physically, actually online, not going to your computer.
Exactly. No computers at this point. Get on that line at Patrick Gym. The original venue was going to be Memorial Auditorium, and the line was so long that they changed it to Patrick Gym because you could seat more people. And that night in Patrick Gym, the temperature had climbed quite a bit, and it was very, very hot. By the way, you're asking me to do something. As an historian, you're asking me not to do history, but to be a primary source for what happened since I was there. I always tell students, be careful with memoirs and with oral histories because they occurred after the fact and memory plays weird tricks on you.
But I've heard that because of that, and you're absolutely right, you have corroborated some of your memories with other folks that you know you who have been there before coming in. You talked to some other people to say, do you remember this show? Because you were there too. Is that right?
Yes. I talked with two friends, one a former graduate teaching assistant of mine and former state archivist, Greg Sanford, also Rick Carrick, who lives in Stowe, and a few others, and said, what do you remember about this? What do you remember about that? And what is interesting is that none of us remember a great deal.
And it is 41 years ago, to be fair.
Yeah, it was 41 years ago, and as one of them put it, given the smell in the air, it would be a miracle if we remembered anything. But one thing that I definitely do remember, and this is a classic example of memory playing tricks, I was convinced for years that this occurred when Dylan played Don't Think Twice. But I looked at the playbill, and it's not there.
Well, we did dig up some artifacts, if you will, from this concert. As you say, you found the set list. What I find interesting about the set list is that there are some listed unknown songs, three or four of them. And I'm wondering if somebody who else was there can maybe fill us in on what those particular songs were. There were some terrific songs that were played. A Hard Rain's a Gonna Fall played at this show, going back to some of his early 60s stuff. And of course, he was touring for what at the time was the new album Desire. So he played Hurricane, and he played one of my favorites, One More Cup of Coffee. Do you remember any of the specific songs from this show?
Yes. Desire officially didn't come out until a month or two later. So if you look, a plurality, if not a majority of the songs are from that album, and most of us had never heard them. And he had Scarlett Rivera.
Yes.
The violinist.
The player, yeah.
And we were all, wow, listening to what she was doing on One More Cup of Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
For me, much more memorable was the fact that he was playing some of the really old songs. And of course, he ended with one that was not his. He ended with Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land.
I am so jealous of anyone who was at this show. You, some of our VPR staffers, including our vice president, chief content officer, and news director, they were bragging about being there. We also found a review of the show from the Vermont Cynic newspaper. It came out just a few days after the show. And one of the things it says is that Dylan, who rarely speaks at a concert dedicated, It's a Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, to all psychology students, saying, quote, "We're gonna do an old song a new way. Constantly in touch with the other members of the band and occasionally dancing around on stage, he appeared to be enjoying himself more on this tour than on his last tour a year and a half ago." So a pretty good review from the Vermont Cynic.
Yes. I remember him moving around a lot, and I've been to many Dylan concerts since, and he's not exactly communicative with his audience most of the time. But this time you did feel it. He was not withdrawn into a corner.
As a history professor, I am going to ask you to tell us something about the mood in the country at the time. This would be 1975, a year after Nixon resigned office. I guess Gerald Ford was still president.
Gerald Ford was president, correct.
What was the particular mood or undercurrent on campus, how people felt politically, socially?
It's a good question. I've been remembering it because a lot of my students from the early and mid-70s have made contact again. I joke that I can remember them. I can remember all of them, and I cannot remember who I met yesterday. Welcome to the aging process. The mood was still very countercultural, both politically and socially. I don't remember that changing really until the 80s. I do know that by 75, I was already using Dylan lyrics in class and continue to do so.
How so?
One of my last lectures was on the 60s, was on the counterculture. I made it a point in the intro course to get up to the present, to say to the students, what you've been through is now part of history. But to show how rapidly things changed in the 60s, what I would be do Dylan lyrics from the early albums, from Freewheelin', Times They Are A-Changin', then flip into lyrics from Another Side of Dylan, and then Highway 61 Revisited and Blonde on Blonde, and the difference in the lyrics and the introversion that went on. Lines flew out, and you just grabbed them. And then there would be other times in courses where it seemed obvious to put it in. And in the 90s, I team taught a course in U.S. foreign policy with a neoconservative in the political science department. And I would cite Dylan lyrics while he cited Beach Boy lyrics. And therein was the difference between the two.
What is your feeling ultimately about Dylan winning the Nobel Prize for Literature? Is it well-deserved, even though he's technically a musician, not a writer as we know them to be?
I think it is. I think it is recognition of something. It's a spoke with my colleague and friend Huck Gutman, who teaches English in the English department. It's broadening the definition of what is to be considered poetry, literature. The book that I read, which really put this into, I think, the proper framework for me, Sean Wilenz, Bob Dylan in America. Now, Wilenz is a famous historian of the United States. He's also a fanatical Dylan fan, and his conclusion, if I remember correctly, is Dylan was the master of every genre in American music, and as he played it, he changed it so that he was a transforming force in the history of American music.
Mark Stoller is Professor Emeritus of History at the University of Vermont. He was in attendance November 8, 1975, when Bob Dylan came to Burlington's Patrick Gymnasium. Mark Stoller, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It was my pleasure. I do have to end with a Dylan line, though, about talking about this so many years later. But I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, rolling high and mighty traps. Pounced with fire on flaming roads, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I, proud knee. teeth, he did brow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.